Collaboration is the name of the game. To be successful in today's business world, we need to collaborate in everything we do. With our peers, with our stakeholders, in our teams, within the hierarchy, and with outside organizations and strategic alliances. In the collaborative business world, no one can go it alone. You are listening to the Collaborative Business Podcast, and my name is Peter Simons. In this podcast, I'm in conversation with my guests about the skills we need to succeed in the collaborative business world and about lessons my guests learned in their business collaborations. In the previous two episodes of the Collaborative Business Podcast, I've been in conversation with two longtime alliance experts, Anoop Nadwani and Ben Gomez-Casares. In our conversations, we looked ahead to what these experts expect that 2015 will be doing for strategic alliances. Today, we are shifting gears a bit, and we will focus on business collaborations for entrepreneurs in 2015. I'm in conversation with Amber Vilhauer, and as you will notice, Amber quickly zooms into collaboration opportunities that online developments will bring to entrepreneurs. Amber, welcome back to the Collaborative Business Podcast.
Thank you, Peter. I'm so excited to be back here again. That's awesome.
It's good to have you back. that's great. So, but there might be people on the call, Amber, who haven't heard the first one yet, and I will link to it in show notes, so they are obliged to go back and listen to our first conversation. But before they do, help them and shed some light on who is Amber. What do you do?
Who is Amber? That sounds like a big question.
We have half an hour. Take it away.
Well, Amber is, I own a company. It's called NGNG Enterprises, standing for No Guts, No Glory. And I created this company back in 2007. And basically, we work with authors, speakers, and coaches, and we help them build their business online. And so it started out back then with just me and a programmer and a designer. And we were building a lot of WordPress websites for our clients. But then, you know, you can't just have a website and just magically be successful online. You have to do other things like market your business, monetize your business. You have to do all of these other things in order to grow a successful business online. So what I started to do is I started to take these different ideas that were being circulated around online, doing them myself, testing them, proving that they work, and only when I proved that they worked is when I would open it up as a service to other clients and then there again prove that it works in different industries. And so fast forward all of these years later, I now have a team of 10 people that work with me, programmers and graphic designers, social media, search engine optimization expert, copywriters, and together we work with our clients to help them with a variety of different tasks online, from setting up the website still to then working in social media and growing that following or building an email list, you know, creating products and launching them, even to more advanced techniques like collaboration and summits and membership sites and affiliate marketing. So now, Peter, we're able to help authors, speakers, and coaches with virtually anything that they need in order to grow their business online. And it is fantastic. I love what I do and the people that I get to work with. And it's just so magical seeing all these people getting real results. It's awesome.
Yeah, and I can imagine. And it sounds exciting, the way you talk about it.
It is.
It is, yes.
It gets me out of bed every morning with a smile. I mean, how many people say that they really, truly love what they do? I feel extremely fortunate that I get to be in that group of people.
Yeah, I agree. And so you work with those 10 people. Do you have a geographical focus, or do you work globally?
Globally, yep, we're all over the place.
as long as they speak English, or?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So yeah. Most of my team is here in the U.S. The only exception to that is I have two graphic designers that live in Cape Town, South Africa. And it was, you know, Joni was one of my first team members ever, and I found her because my sister had her design a logo for off of Elance. And from there, I connected with her, and then now her best friend also works with us. But everybody else is here in the U.S., and I pay them very, very well. So that's a decision that I had to make, is because I could have gone offshore. I could have, you know, hired help for much, much less than what I'm paying now. But I really wanted to create a company that had a family environment. You know, these people have been with me for a long time. We have a lot of common interests. I care about them deeply. A few of them even live here in Colorado with me. So we get together for dinners. I mean, it's not a traditional, you know, business relationship, because I want them to feel like they are just as much a part of this company as I am, because without them, we wouldn't be here, you know? So it's definitely a family feel, and they've been with me a long, long time. So it's, and our clients really appreciate that too, obviously.
I can imagine. And so when you talk about this collaboration with your team, do you also bring them together on a regular basis, on a physical location, physically be together, or is it purely online?
I haven't done that yet, but we have joked around that we would love to do that in Cape Town.
I can imagine.
You know, so no, I haven't done that yet, but we are constantly talking to each other. Everybody knows who each other is, and I do make an effort to bring everybody together, even if it's just a simple email. So, for example, it was about a week ago, I was having this enormously busy day. I mean, just one of those days when your to-do list is never ending and you just feel like you're never going to get it all done. And it was heading toward the end of the day, and I stopped, and I just felt this overwhelming gratitude for my team and how they show up every day for our clients and for me. And I just didn't know what to do with that gratitude. So I sat down for almost an hour that I didn't have, and I wrote this long email, copied everybody on the team, and I wrote out a paragraph for each person on why I was so grateful for that person and what they brought to the company. And I gave them all an opportunity to see what I was commenting about everybody else. So I try to do things like that to bring everybody together and remind them that we are a team, we are a unified front, and we are here for a greater purpose. And they really appreciate that.
So, and you're very transparent to your team.
Yeah.
So one question that comes up based on what you said and a podcast I listened to this afternoon. The guest in that particular podcast said that people work better together and collaborate better when they're physically together in one room. What's your point on that?
I don't know that I fully agree. I mean, I do think that it depends on the type of person. So I think that's probably the best way to answer that. Yeah. Because I definitely know people that cannot handle working by themselves at home. They're just not built that way. They have to be in an environment where they're sharing a space with others and vibing off of others, building the energy that way and staying motivated and sharing ideas. But I have to be honest that for me, I don't have as much of that need. I've done in-group masterminds, and I feel like we could be just as successful on the phone. So I think it really just does depend on the person. And also, you know, for me, I feel a constant source of collaboration because I'm always on the phone with somebody, or I'm always exchanging emails. So I never really feel alone in the way that other people do. Not to be repetitive, but I think it depends on who the person is.
Yeah. And if I listen to you well, then I also hear you say that you basically create the room online with the people. So it's not a physical room, it is more a virtual room that you create together.
Sure. I mean, I'm either on Skype doing a podcast with you, or I'm emailing my clients, or I'm doing a Google Hangout with some of my team, or I'm on Facebook, sharing messages, or I'm doing a mastermind on, you know, Skype or something. So it just feels like there's this constantly ever-changing environment in which I'm communicating with people. And frankly, Peter, I'm a bit of an introvert, and most people would think I was just the opposite if they followed me online, but I'm actually more of an introvert. So by the end of the day, after so much communication and engagement with others, I like to kind of be alone and have some quiet time and recharge so that I can then give as much as I like to give to others during the work day.
Interesting. Indeed, I wouldn't have expected you being an introvert, looking at your videos and hearing you speak.
People are always surprised. I think I have a bit of extrovert in me. I mean, I can be very sociable. I can be very upbeat. Introverts don't mean that they hate people or that they can't be in a social environment. It just more means that being social drains us versus with extroverts, when they're social, it gives them energy. It renews them. And so it's not that I don't like being social. I love it. And I think without it, my life would not be nearly as great, but it does tend to drain me. So for me, I have to be mindful of that and make sure that I'm not overbooking myself with calls and other things, because otherwise I'll just get fried. I'll get burnt out. So knowing who you are is such an important part of being an entrepreneur.
And that's why I asked and started with the question, who is Amber?
Exactly.
Now, connecting to that one, when I introduced you a year ago, I introduced Amber Ludwig. Nowadays, I avoided so far your last name, but I noticed that I should introduce Amber Villhauer.
Amber Villhauer.
What happened?
I got married. That's what happened. I wish it was a better, more creative story than that, that I just really loved the name and wanted to change my name or something. But and I do like the name, but I got married back in August of 2014. And, you know, I'm a traditional in that I really loved my husband's last name. I wanted to, you know, raise our children having the same last name. And so I made the switch. And there were definitely some things to think about in terms of online, because for the past 8+ years, everybody has known me as Amber Ludwig. And to be at this point in my business and completely switch gears, it was a risk. And a lot of people were fearful for me that it was going to be a detrimental move to my company. But I knew better than that. And I knew my long-term goals. So it actually hasn't been a hard transition at all, because I did it very carefully.
So, and you're rebranding your personal brand now also with your name. So from Amber Ludwig to Amber Villhauer.
Yes. And part of the strategy that I'm doing is for about 1 year, I am trying to change everything to say Amber Ludwig Villhauer, mm-hmm. even though that's not my official legal name. You know, I think it'll help people with seeing both names, and then eventually I'll just get rid of Ludwig and then everybody will know me as Villhauer. And also with the search engine rankings, you'll see me listed under Amber Ludwig and under Amber Villhauer, but I have a plan that more and more, you know, over the next year, I'm going to start ranking more for Amber Villhauer and less for Amber Ludwig. But I think I'll always have podcast interviews and images and websites that link me to Amber Ludwig. So I'll always be found in both places, probably.
Yeah, you probably can't change the history on the internet that easy, I guess.
Some of it's easy and some of it is so painful. For example, YouTube and Google products, Google, like YouTube and Google Plus, will not allow you to change the URL to your YouTube page or your Google Plus page. So I would have to throw away both of those pages and start brand new to have the Amber Villhauer be in the URL link to my social profiles. And I'm not going to do that, because I already have too much of a presence on both of those networks that I'm not going to blow up the page and start all over again. So you live with it. You say, okay, well, you know, people are going to go to Google+/Amber Ludwig. And when they get there, they're going to see the words Amber Villhauer everywhere else. But, you know, that's okay. That they'll figure it out eventually that it's the same person. And it'll be okay in the end. And it is. So it's kind of weird.
Yeah, I can imagine. So when we look at, we are at the beginning of the year 2015. Traditionally the time that people have made their plans, they have ideas of what they want to accomplish this year. And with my guests in January, I'm looking ahead to 2015 and trying not to look into the crystal ball and predict the future, but more look at what do we expect from 2015 when it comes to the area of collaboration. So a very broad question, very open question to you. What do you expect when it comes to collaboration for entrepreneurs in 2015?
That's a great question. You know, there are definitely some shifts that are happening. And there are some things that have been important that will always stay important. So a few things off the top of my head. Number one is summits. Running a summit where you're interviewing a lot of different people, packaging up those interviews and selling them, that is always, I think, going to be around as a great collaborative effort. Because, you know, with all of the people that you're interviewing, they're going to go out and promote your summit for you because they were in it. So now it's just a way to leverage the communities of all of those people that you've interviewed to really build your own and establish yourself as the authority in your industry. It builds tremendous credibility, not to mention it can dramatically affect the amount of email subscribers that you have and amount of sales that you're making in your business. So running some sort of a summit is always something that should be in the front of everybody's minds. I think a lot of people are going to be fearful of it because it is a lot of work. Woo, it's a lot of work. But the reward is there. So I see summits. I mean, I've had 3 clients just so far in the first few weeks of January that have hired me to help them manage and run their summit because I know how to do those. And so what I do is I sit down and I walk them through all of the steps. I help them with their copywriting, getting the website up, helping them, you know, learn how to run the interviews and package things up. And I also bring to the table a lot of cool ideas for different ways to monetize your summit so that you stand out amongst the pack of everybody else doing their summits. So I still think that's going to be big for 2015, but also masterminds are becoming very powerful. And, you know, masterminds, again, kind of one of those things that's it's been around for a long time, but now people are really waking up to the power of masterminds. For those of you that are new to masterminds, imagine it that you have decided to bring a group of people together to meet on a regular basis and you share where you're at in your business and ask for, you know, questions of what you need help with. And the other people in your group will offer feedback and give you support to help you grow your business. And then you give other people feedback and help them support their business as well. And so masterminds can meet as often as you decide. I've got some masterminds that I'm in that I meet once a quarter, others once a month, sometimes just once a year, or sometimes just whenever it happens. It could be one every 5 years. You know, it just depends on the type of group I'm in and how much time I have to put toward masterminds. But that's a great collaborative effort. Now, maybe you're not monetizing immediately unless you're the group leader. As the group leader, you could charge people an annual fee to be a part of your mastermind, or you could charge them a fee for each mastermind they come into. So for you, you can absolutely monetize that. But also it can be a great opportunity for you to joint venture with other members in your mastermind. So Peter, if we're in a mastermind together, I could say, hey, Peter, we should go out and do a webinar series together and, you know, about X idea, X topic, and we should create it as a product that we can sell, and then we'll split the profit 50-50. So those types of collaborations can absolutely come out of masterminds. I mean, so I think that the summits and the masterminds, Peter, are going to still be very strong in 2015. But, you know, we're creative. We're entrepreneurs. We're constantly coming up with new ideas on how we can support each other, leverage each other's communities, and profit together. It's just a faster way to grow than trying to do everything yourself.
Okay. When I look at the summits, one question for clarification. I have a little bit of a head start here because I read your email this morning. But
from my newsletter.
From your newsletter. Yeah. Yes, indeed. So when I traditionally think about a summit, there is there are summits in a location where people all come together and we have speakers. You are not talking about a traditional summit, are you?
Well, it's exactly like that, except it's just online.
Yes.
So an example that I can give your listeners, Peter, is in January of 2014, I ran a summit, and it's AuthenticBusinessSuccessSummit.com. That's an example. AuthenticBusinessSuccessSummit.com. And what I did is I picked a name. I decided the topic was going to be interviewing multi-six, seven, and eight-figure entrepreneurs about their mindset and business strategies that made them so successful. So that was my theme. Then I thought, who are going to be the best speakers that I can get for my summit? So I went and I reached out to people like John Lee Dumas and Christine Kane and Lisa Larder and Joel Kahn and some of the most brilliant entrepreneurs in our space. And they all agreed to let me interview them. So I interviewed each of them for an hour. Then I set up a membership area where I hosted all of their interviews. I charged people $197 to get forever access to those interviews. In fact, people can still buy them today. The value is so over the top phenomenal, by far better than I think almost any conference I've ever been to. I mean, these speakers really showed up and gave the goods. And what I did is I decided to do it a little bit different than some other summit models, and I ran mine based on a charity competition. So I had two different sets of competitions where the speakers were working against each other almost in this competitive environment to raise as much money as possible for charity. And all said and done, we ended up raising just under $15,000 for charity. And that was above and beyond the profit from the summit and, you know, that continues to happen today. So that was my particular model. I mean, you can think about it like a conference that you would go to, but it's just online instead.
With all the benefits of not having to travel, and it's most likely cheaper because there is no travel cost, no hotel cost, and all that kind of stuff. But how about the interactivity? So in a summit, in a physical summit, I can talk to the speaker, I can meet with the other attendees. How do you handle that in a virtual summit, in an online summit?
Great question. So there's a couple of ways. Number one, you could decide that as you're interviewing people, you could decide to keep those interviews live and have a Q&A portion at the end of each interview. So that's one way for people to engage with each other. And as you're running this live interview, you could also feature a chat box next to the interview video so that the members are all sitting there engaging with each other and chatting while the interview is happening. Then you could open it up for a Q&A at the end. But the more traditional way that I've seen most people do it, Peter, is through like a Facebook page. So when you get access to the summit, you also get access to our private Facebook group where the speakers and the members have access to communicate with each other. Now, most speakers don't spend a lot of time in the Facebook groups, which is really unfortunate. But as an example, this gentleman, Navid, just did his it's a branding summit, and he interviewed 80 people. 80! Crazy! I only interviewed 15. I can't imagine interviewing 80 people for this branding summit. It was insane. It was insane with value, and I was one of his speakers. And so he had his Facebook page, and I, as a speaker, have been regularly communicating with other members from that summit, people that bought into it, because I want them to feel like they got value out of it. And you're right, there is no travel cost involved. I mean, many summits are free. Many summits are between $97 and $197. I went to a Brendon Burchard event for $9.97, and I had to pay for travel and hotel. Now, it was totally worth it, but that's the difference here, too, is that you only pay $197, let's say, for this summit, and you still get to engage with the members and the speakers.
Yeah, but on the other hand, do you see a barrier for collaboration among the people, or don't you see a barrier at all there?
I don't, but it depends on the person and what they do with the opportunity. You know, for me, I'm not going to buy into something and just be a silent sheep and not engage. But if instead I decide to take, you know, if the reins of the situation and I decide to go into that Facebook group and really stir up conversation, get to know people, and if I see somebody post a good comment, I might say, hey, it looks like we might have something in common. Do you want to set up a call where we could get to know each other? And then maybe out of that call, we decide to do some other collaboration together. I mean, you just never know what it can turn into. And that really is the bottom line of you know, as an entrepreneur, we look at social media, you have a tremendous opportunity to create any opportunity that you want when you think about it. As long as you just reach out, ask people if they'd like to set up a call with you, stir up conversation, get to know other people. If you can kind of go outside of your comfort zone a bit, you'll have more business than you ever know what to do with. That's for sure.
Yeah. And so from the collaboration perspective, you will have more collaborations, more opportunities to collaborate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You got it.
And the one is pushing the other, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you get out of this world what you put into it, Peter. I am a firm believer of that. And I'm constantly telling my clients, the more you do something, the faster you're going to see results with it. Even when it comes to blogging or podcasting or guest blogging, speaking, writing a book, the more you do something, the faster you're going to get results with it and the more you're going to get out of it. And yeah, networking is no different.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So two trends or hot topics when it comes to collaboration for entrepreneurs, summits and masterminds. Anything else that you expect that will come up in this year?
Well, you know, we're always collaborating. I mean, if you think about it, a podcast interview, you and I right now are collaborating, Peter, right now. So
yeah,
podcasting could be considered a collaboration. Guest blogging could be considered a collaboration, where if, you know, I'm writing a blog post for your website, I get to leverage your audience and they're all going to find out about me for the first time. And also, because I'm featuring it on your website, I'm going to go promote that blog post to my whole audience. So now you are leveraging my network, you know. So guest blogging is one of those incredibly great, largely untapped resources. I mean, you're seeing a lot of websites out there that do have guest blogging, like Huffington Post or Social Media Examiner. There's tons of them out there. But the average everyday, you know, entrepreneur doesn't usually offer guest blogging. But think about it. If you started having, you know, 2 people, 10 people a month that were giving you quality articles on your website, you're going to grow 10 times faster, because every time you submit a blog post to Google, you get more organic traffic from Google. That means more website visitors to your website. And that means that more people are sharing your content on social media, which brings more visitors to your website. Plus, the people who submitted that blog post should be promoting their own blog post, which gets more people to your website. It's one of the fastest ways to grow. It's a lot more work, right? Because it's not, you're not just managing yourself. Now you're managing these other guest bloggers that come in, but it's a tremendous way to grow. So I think that largely you can look at a lot of things as being a collaborative effort, but, you know, I tend to focus my time on summits, podcasts, guest blogging, and masterminds.
Very clear, very clear. And I understand. Okay, well, I would like to thank you for being my guest today. Is there anything that we haven't discussed that you would like to mention to the audience?
Oh my goodness, volumes probably. you know, I guess I would just say that as we get further and further into this year, and as you get further and further into your business, you know, don't put too much pressure on yourself, because when we put too much pressure on ourselves, we don't take action and then we don't get our dreams. They don't come, you know, true nearly as quickly. So don't put too much pressure on yourself, but at the same time, push yourself when you can, meaning that if you are fearful of doing a summit, well, no guts, no glory. That's why I named my company name after that, because, you know, you have to have guts in this business to really reap the rewards of it. So I would encourage you to just get outside of your comfort zone, do the things that you're uncomfortable about, knowing that it's going to get you one step closer to your dreams. But at the same side, if something doesn't happen perfectly, don't think that it's your fault or beat yourself up over it. Just get back up on that horse and keep going. Because truly, we all have a message to share with the world, and the world needs that message. It's true. So the ideas that you have, you've been given those for a reason, in my opinion. And if anybody has any additional questions or wants to have a conversation with me, they can find me at AmberVilhauer.com or even AmberLudwig.com, which will redirect you to AmberVilhauer.com. and, you know, I love your show, Peter, and I'm happy to help your people any way that I can.
Thank you very much, Amber. I will link, obviously, from the show notes also to your page so that it's very easy for the people to find you.
Perfect. I love it. Thank you.
Thank you. So far for the conversation with Amber Vilhauer. As usual, the show notes can be found at petersimons.com. And while you're there, you can also subscribe to the podcast and future episodes will automatically be delivered to your device. Please do remember to leave a review on iTunes. It will help to spread the podcast and make more people aware of the particularities and opportunities that business collaboration brings to business. That's it for this episode. Bye for now and until next time.